All right, the sermon this morning comes from Genesis chapter 21. Please turn with me there. Genesis chapter 21, starting with verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah, as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for this truth that you bring to us. We thank you for the marvel and the wonder that this is. God, impact us with this full truth. May it change the way that we think about you. May it change the way that we think about ourselves and change the way that we react to you, so that you will be glorified and transformed lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the sweetest things in my life is the Sabbath rest. You should all experience the Sabbath rest. You should all know what it is. You should all drink it in and enjoy it. After working 6 days, after laboring, after striving to be an adequate overseer of people's souls for 6 days, I come and I try to bring you the fruit of my labor. I try to bring you God's Word and I try to pour myself out for you every week. And then we go and we have fellowship together. We sit and we have a good time. And then I greet as many of you as I can. And then I retire to my home. When I get there, usually my wife is already there and the children are already in their rooms, down for their quiet time with their books and down to pray. And I go to each room and I greet my sons in one and I wish them a good rest. I go to the next room and I greet my daughter and I wish her a good rest. And then I go to my room and in the middle of the day, I lay down on my bed without guilt and without shame and I enter the Lord's rest. Do you know why this is so sweet? It's so sweet because God has commanded it. It is so sweet because God meets with us on the Sabbath rest. And you know that as sweet as that rest is, it's simply a foretaste. It's simply an early taste of heaven. Just a little piece of what we look forward to. And as you consider that sweetness, I want you to look here at these passages and see that this blessing of Isaac, as beautiful as it is, as amazing as it was for Sarah, who was so captivated she barely had words and laughed, was simply a foretaste. It was simply an early taste of the other promised son who was coming. The promise of the Christ who is coming to rescue and coming to fulfill God's promises. You see, this picture here, this passage here, is about God's faithfulness. About God's faithfulness to Abraham and to Sarah, and about God's faithfulness to His church, as God had promised Abraham that He was going to bless all the nations of the earth through the offspring of Abraham, through Sarah, who was 90 years old. And here we see that faithfulness from the God that you and I love and the God that you and I worship. So this morning, I want you to try as hard as you can to embrace this faithfulness of God. To embrace this promise. May this be the foundation of your joy. May this be the foundation of your comfort. And indeed, may God's faithfulness be the foundation of even your obedience and your hopeful expectation. In order to do this, we must adequately rejoice in the Son of promise. Look with me again at verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now, why is this such a joyous thing? Why is this such a joyous occasion that this little old lady laughs? And she says, everyone who hears this is going to laugh with me. We've heard the saying, people aren't laughing at you. They're laughing with you. Well, this time it was really true for Sarah. When people laughed, they marveled at God. They marveled at what He had accomplished. And it is more than this little old lady having a son for this old man. You see, this goes way back 21 chapters. As God promised and as God had made the earth good. And then there was the fall and death entered into the world. And then in Genesis chapter 3, there was this promise that a seed of the woman was going to come and was going to crush the head of the adversary, to crush the head of the serpent. You see, that promise had to flow and that promise had to continue for God to be faithful. And it flowed, and right away, Sarah looked for this child. And when she had Cain, she thought, this is the child. She said, I've begotten a child of the Lord. Our translation renders it, I have begotten a child with the help of the Lord. But more precisely, I've begotten a child from God. Thinking that this would be the one. This will be the one to fulfill the promise. And then when he killed Abel, it was obvious, this isn't the one. And right away, Eve starts looking again. And what does she say when Seth is born? God has given me another child to replace the one I've lost. Thinking that this would be the righteous one. And then as the world is completely corrupted in the time of Noah, and just before Noah, Noah's father, when he has the son, says, this will be the one to deliver us. Thinking this will be our rescue. And then yet, his rescue was only partial. People look forward to the promise. And as I did my research and as I studied, I wondered, how far removed was Abraham from Noah? How far away was it? We have these genealogies and these lines, he begot, he begot, he begot, he begot, and then he died, and then he died, and then he died. How far away was it? How far was Abraham from the promise? Well, as you study, you discover that Noah did not die until Abraham was 50 years old. Did Abraham know the promise? Did the world know the promise? Was the world still looking forward to the one who would rescue them? Yes, they were. You see, as we look at this and as Sarah rejoiced, this is like something that was too good to be true, but is true. I don't know if you've ever gotten letters in the mail that you read them and you're like, this is too good to be true. And sometimes you fall for it. And it was too good to be true. But one time I got an email. It was from our home mission board, from the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And it said they wanted me to come to a conference. Well, that was good, but everybody always wants you to come for a conference because they want you to pay for it. Well, then this said the conference was paid for. Well, that's pretty good. But it was in North Carolina. I was like, I can't go to that. But then they said they would pay for the travel. I said, well, this sounds too good to be true. And then as I read along, and they wanted me to bring my wife. That sounded too good to be true. Me and my wife traveling to North Carolina with all the expenses paid. And they said, and if it's a problem for someone to fill your pulpit for you while we're away, we'll fill your pulpit for you. We'll even pay for it. So there it was, a vacation for me and my wife to fly to North Carolina to stay at this camp, and they were going to feed us, and they were going to teach us, and they were going to nourish us. It was too good to be true. But it was true. It was actually true. Like your salvation. Your salvation, the promise of the Christ, it sounds too good to be true. But it is true. Someone came and loved you so much that He laid His life down for you while you were yet a sinner. And all you have to do is believe. And you're rescued and you're saved. And so you and I should be sitting with Sarah laughing because it's too good to be true. You have been loved. You have been rescued. And what does it cost you? Absolutely nothing. And as my place was filled when I was away, your place under God's judgment was filled for you as Christ suffered the full wrath of God. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true. You see, as they rejoice in Isaac, as they laugh over Isaac with utter joy, you and I should be rejoicing in the other son of promise that Isaac was just a picture of. Just a foreshadowing of, just an early taste. And yet you and I know and embrace the fulfillment. How much should you and I rejoice? Rejoice, Christians. Rejoice in the son of promise that Isaac was merely a foretaste of. Next, look with me at verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. I love the emphasis here that as He had said and as He had promised, again displaying His faithfulness. But we see here that God took note of Sarah, and I want you, if you are in Christ, to be thankful that God has taken note of you. God has taken note of you. In Ephesians 1:5 it says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Before He said, let there be light, before there was that explosion of glory, God thought of you. God took note of you. In Romans 8:28, He says, He called you according to His purpose. In Romans 9:23 refers to you as vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory. You are vessels of mercy that He prepared beforehand for glory. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This blessing that you have received from all eternity is steadfast and sure. Ephesians 1:11, also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, and it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has taken note of you from all eternity and holds you fast for all eternity. How thankful should we be? Many of you know that I enjoy sword fighting over at Geneva College. And every now and then, we break down and we have teams, and there's a captain. And this is that same ugly picture that you remember from grade school. As one captain picks somebody, and another captain picks somebody else, and another captain picks somebody, and it goes down lower and lower and lower. And then you have these two poor people who are already standing on a college campus holding a foam-edged sword, as if that isn't bad enough. One of them waiting to be the last one. And as all the most capable people have already been picked, you wait to see who the least capable person is. I ask you the question, if God were looking to conquer the world, and He is, and to subdue all things, why would He pick us? You know, I have this fantasy of training with the foam-edged weapon so hard that I could stand up there and I could pick all of the worst people right away, and I could bring them onto my team, and then I could go ahead and still win. And the people that are the least capable could rejoice in their winning, you know? But I can't do that. I'm not that good. But you know what Christ has done? As He has looked at us, He has looked out, and He has received all of the least capable people. He's received all the sinners. He's received all of the weaklings. He's received all of those who are not wise. And He's brought them onto His team, and then He goes out and slays everyone, and you get to be on the winning team. All because He has taken note of you. From all of eternity, He has taken note of you, and He has loved you, and He holds you fast for all of eternity. And because of that, you and I look forward to glory. Look forward to glorying in Christ. Be thankful that He has taken note of you. Now look with me again at verse 2. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And I don't think I can overemphasize the importance of what God has spoken. The importance of His promises. The importance of the Scripture. Do you know that if we sought Him faithfully every single morning, drinking in His Word, memorizing it so we dwelled on it all the time, that might just barely be enough. Just enough for us to get by. I don't know. I imagine many of you have been in a situation where a parent has promised you something and you clung to that promise with such a great expectation. As a father myself, I have told my children, we will do this tomorrow, or we will do that tomorrow. And you know that they always remember those good things. They always come and say, Father, do you remember that you said that we would do this? May we cling to God's promises like that. May we cling to it like that. Even searching His Word for His promises to see the good things that He will fulfill. As we look at these passages, as we see the good that He did for Abraham and Sarah, the impossible. Be certain that He will accomplish the impossible in your lives as well. As you treasure His Word, treasuring it, counting it as precious. Next, look with me at verses 1 and 2 again. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. As you focus on Christ's faithfulness, you should have comfort. You should be finding your peace in the Lord. Church, find your peace in the Lord. How often do we run after other things? How often do we run after relationships? How often do we run after cheap excuses for comfort and cheap excuses for joy? We come up so empty. How often do we run for cheap excuses for peace and security? And yet we come up empty. A good friend of mine was having lunch with his wife at her workplace. And as they were there, this man was sitting there who was not a believer. And he was talking about how worried he was someone was going to break into his house because he just moved into a bad section of town. And he hadn't gotten the security system yet. And he was so worried and he was so concerned. And eventually he said, "You know what? The security system won't save me, will it?" My buddy Lucas said, "Nope. It won't save you. It won't rescue you." And the guy was just distraught. He said, "What do I do?" My buddy Lucas said, "Pray to God and buy a gun." "Pray to God and buy a gun." And the man answered, "I don't believe in God." My buddy informed him then, "You have no hope. You have no protection. You have no comfort. Do you believe in Christ? Do you truly believe in Christ? Do you believe that you will be rescued on the day of judgment? So then make this your comfort. Make this your peace." My brother, he's a world traveler, and he is an adventurer. He gets himself into the craziest places and the craziest conditions, and he sent me a photograph of this valley that he had gone whitewater rafting through, and these cliffs were thousands of feet high. And as I looked at this picture of this cliff ascending 1,000 feet straight down to a riverbank, I looked and there was something on the just on the edge of the cliff there. And as I looked closer and I enlarged the photograph he gave me, there was a town. There was a town built on the edge of this cliff, thousands of feet up. And I looked at this and I said, "Luke, wouldn't that be nerve-wracking? Wouldn't that drive you crazy living on the edge of a cliff, thousands of feet up? That thing could collapse at any second." My brother responded, "Oh no, that cliff's solid granite." "That thing's not going anywhere. Do you know that the city that you live in, the city of God, is so firm and so stable, it's not going anywhere? Do you know that although it looks like so often we're teetering on the edge of a cliff, ready to fall into chaos and death, you're not going anywhere. Your foundation is the rock of Christ Jesus. You are secure." As we look at these passages, what does it focus on? As God had said. As God had said. As God has promised. These words that I speak to you now are more certain than the pew that you sit on, more certain than the building that you are in, more certain than the car that you travel in, and certainly more certain than your own righteousness. As God has promised, as God has said, if you trust in Christ, you are secure. Again, as we look at verse 2, "So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." I'm going to call on you to embrace God's power for life. As we go back into Genesis 18:11, it says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old." It's not polite for us to say that about people here. You're old. You have little hope. You are on the edge. But this is where the Bible tells us Abraham and Sarah were. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. advanced in age, Sarah was past childbearing. Genesis 17:17 says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to a man 100 years old?' And as it is impolite to say how old a lady is, and Sarah, who is 90 years old, will she bear a child?" The answer is, God says so, is yes. Whatever God promises, no matter how crazy it seems, the answer is yes. No matter how unlikely it seems, the answer is yes. I love that the scripture uses water as an example of God's word. Water as an example of God's power. I mean, we may look at it and it's not a big deal. It's something so simple and so small. Even if you study its components, H2O. So simple, not much to it. But in Isaiah 55:9-13, it compares God's word to water. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent, for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." You see, God's word is so faithful. As the rain falls on the mountains, and who can stop the rain from falling on the mountains? Who could stop the water from rolling down the mountains? No one. Who can stop the water from returning to the heavens? No one. God's word will not be stopped. Did you see that His word brings life? As I struggled to come up with an illustration talking about God's power for life, you look at the world around you, and I am stabbed through the heart as I think about my own life. As I think about the times before I was saved and the ways that I chased death, the things that I put myself in, the positions that I put myself in, how I would see how close I could get to death and still escape. As I consider the sins that I embraced as if I were drinking in poison continuously. Yet I look at my life and I see the good that God has given me. Upon you, look at your life. Look at your life. Consider the sins that you have committed, the sins that you continue to commit, the poison that you drink, and the good things that He continues to give you. Embrace God's power for life. Embracing His word, clinging to it and bringing it to others. Next, look with me at verses 3 through 4 of Genesis 21. "And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him." One of my professors at the seminary talked about a sermon that he had preached. He carefully examined the text and then he stood in the pulpit and he brought every nuance out that he could think of and brought them everything, the full fruit of his study. And then as he stood at the back door, there was a man who had never had anything kind to say to him about any of his sermons. And as he shook the pastor's hand, he looked him in the eye and said, "So what?" And then walked away. So what? Well, as we look at all of God's goodness, I ask you, so what? As we look at all of His promises, so what? As we look at how He has taken note of you, so what? As I have brought you this word this morning, so what? What that question means is, what difference does it make? Is this going to make any difference at all? Is God's faithfulness going to make any difference at all in your life this week? See, I'm going to call upon you to make certain that this all adds up to a loving obedience. Make certain that this all adds up to a loving obedience. As Abraham went and said, I'm going to call my son Joe. No. As God had commanded him, call your son Isaac. Named his son Laughter. Named his son Laughter. As God had commanded him, circumcise your son on the eighth day. He circumcised his son on the eighth day. As God has commanded you, love me with all of your heart. Love me with all of your strength. As He has commanded you, write my word on your heart. As He has commanded you, love your neighbor. As He has commanded you, always be ready to give the reason for the joy and the hope that is within you. Make that your so what. See, we must respond to God's faithfulness with a loving obedience. Or in essence, you say what that man said at the back door. It was shocking when the man looked the preacher in the eye and said, so what? If this doesn't change the way that you live, you look Christ in the eye and you say, so what? So this morning, embrace God's faithfulness. As we remember the Son of Promise. As we rejoice in the victory that we have in His Son, Jesus Christ. Go. Live this gospel. Pray with me. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for taking note of us. Thank you for making good your promise to send forth the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. Thank you for continuing the line and continuing the promise in the son Isaac. And down through David and bringing us to Christ. God, cause us to have a new and a greater loving obedience as we remember who you are and what you have done for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.